history. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, heterosexual, anti-choice, talk show host, and we are live from the convention center floor at the Opryland Hotel in Nashville, Tennessee. George W. Bush spoke here this morning to the convention attendees, and I like to quote something he said and then go right to a guest. Here's the quote. George W. Bush, who I think is doing a pretty good job fighting the war on terror, but he said this. He said, "The people of Iraq are not our enemies. The true enemy of the people of Iraq, Saddam Hussein, is using them as human shields. They have suffered long enough under him." I'd like to go to Larry Cohen. Larry, thanks for joining us on the program.
My pleasure, Bob.
You are a co-host of Shalom USA, Jewish talk radio out of Baltimore.
Correct.
And I'd like to ask you about what's going on in the Arab world, among the Palestinians, their culture as regards this issue of terrorism.
Well, sadly, they've been educated to hate the West, hate Israel, hate America. And they are using this hatred, and they actually hate themselves, because what they're doing is they're killing themselves in order to kill innocent people.
Not only they're themselves, but their children.
Absolutely, they send their children out. It's unfathomable for Americans to comprehend this, that people will give birth to children and then tell them that it is God's will that you kill yourself.
Right.
It's a horrible thing.
You know, the UN regularly condemns Israel, and America votes against us usually. I'm not a fan of the UN, but they have this convention on the rights of the child, which I don't like that either. But in there, it says, you shall not take your children and send them as combatants into the battlefield. And it seems to me that if they really believed even just that, the UN would condemn the Palestinian Authority and the entire infrastructure among the Islamic world Palestinians that advocate, they brag about sending their kids to kill themselves.
Well, the UN is not an organization that I look up to at all. No. I consider them to be worthless at best. What they do with in that regard here is they instead of going after these countries which send their children out to commit suicide, they ignore those countries and they go after the ones who really love life.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. And the UN, Iraq, is going to be chairing their Committee on Disarmament, and Libya is chairing their Human Rights Committee.
Unbelievable.
This is, the UN has absolutely no moral authority whatsoever.
Couldn't agree with you more.
And I am thankful that America, that we decide our own direction on foreign policy, and we're not slaves of world opinion. If we were, we'd be in a lot more trouble than we are.
Sadly, though, we go back too often to the UN. I don't think we should be going back again. We should just realize this was their last chance, and now we have to take the forefront and do what is right.
George W. Bush in Afghanistan, I was thrilled with the way America prosecuted that war. I think it was brilliant. It was done very well. In Iraq, let's talk about Iraq for a moment. On Shalom USA, are you guys in favor of us going after Saddam?
Absolutely. We've talked about it numerous times on our program, and Iraq is, Saddam Hussein is evil. And, you know, when good people turn their backs on evil and make believe it's not there, they themselves become part of the evil. Exactly.
Right.
And we have to go out and stop this evil. He is too strong, and even though people say that he can be contained, he can't be contained.
Well, astronaut Ilan Ramon, who was just killed along with six American astronauts.
Yes.
He's a hero, partly because he helped to stop Iraq from obtaining nuclear weapons, really.
In fact, in 1981, he was the one, there were eight pilots who flew the bombing of the Iraqi nuclear weapons there, and
well, their nuclear facility that they
correct.
Could have eventually used to
and he
try
was
to
the
build
one
weapons.
He was the only single pilot, so he had the most dangerous job. That's the way they do it in Israel. When you're single
Meaning you're not married?
You're not married. He was not married. So the pilots who were married and who have children, they put in less dangerous situations if possible. So since they did have one pilot who was single, they gave him the most dangerous job. And he led the bombing of their facility. And with the tragic loss of him and the others and the six American astronauts, when President Bush met with the widow of Ilan Ramon, or Rona Ramon, this past week, it's been said that he reported in Israel that he went up to her and he said that I am going to finish what your husband started in 1981.
Wow. Praise the Lord.
Powerful statement.
Is that all right? I said praise
absolutely.
The Lord?
Absolutely. Absolutely all right.
Now,
we praise the Lord all the time.
That's right. Larry Cohen, you host a show that's a Jewish talk radio.
Yes.
And I host the show, Bob and Your Live. It's Christian talk. And so we have a difference of opinion on religion. But I have a question for you. We have a video called Mount Moriah. I'd love to email that. To mail it to you. It's a video.
Sure.
And if you have the time to look at it, and I'd like a critique. And if you think you have specifics, I'd like to have you on the show, and you could tell us the historical arguments.
I'd be happy to do that. I mean, look, there are definitely differences. Christianity and Judaism have a lot in common, but they obviously have differences.
Yeah.
And we can still get along, even though we have different beliefs. And
I agree. We get along. And if somebody's going to try to hurt my neighbor's kids, if my neighbor is a Buddhist or a cultist, I'm going to help him protect his kids. And so our two countries, even if we have significant differences, we're both the targets of murder.
Exactly.
By international
terrorists. We have a lot in common, and Israel's the only democracy in the Middle East, and it's amazing that the one thing that bothers me with the war that President Bush is leading against terrorism is that Israel is playing a minor part. If you notice that,
they
try and get all the allies.
Could be out in front.
It really bothers me that when you have all these allies, yet Israel is not included, and when they're
not
the ones
included,
who are going to be attacked.
And we can't even mention Jewish casualties when we talk about terror.
Right.
It's as though George Bush, and I'm glad he's fighting this war on terror, but I think it's a little bit limp-wristed. It could be a bit stronger. But he can't mention the fact that Saddam Hussein pays money to families whose kids kill Jewish men, women, and children.
Right. You know, I want to mention
also... He can't
also,
mention that.
I want to mention also to your listeners that, my rabbi in our congregation, he's a reservist in the U.S. Army, and he just got his... called that he is report to Fort Dix next week, and he's going over to Kuwait and then into Iraq for a minimum of 365 days. So he's going over there. So everyone should know that the Jewish community is very supportive of what President Bush is doing and serving in the military in this battle.
Right. That is real good news. Yasser Arafat, when the IDF had his compound surrounded, I thought George Bush was going to call up and say, good work, guys, now arrest him and let's put him on trial.
Right.
But he didn't say that.
No, it's at times we back away.
Isn't he the father of modern terrorism,
Yasser
Arafat?
Yes, he is. He's the one who started all the hijackings.
And how many millions of dollars a year do we give to Arafat, the United States government?
We try to appease criminals. Sometimes we think that evil can be appeased.
And it can't.
And it cannot.
It just
That's
wants
exactly
more.
Right.
It's voracious.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree with you
and
more.
And so, Land for Peace, my wife and I, we've been to Israel three times, the last time during the current Intifada. And the Golan Heights that Syria used to rain down mortars on farmers in the Galilee for decades, once Israel took that land, has a single shot been fired against Syrians since you guys have taken that land?
No, I mean, look, Israel, that land will never be given back to Syria, and I'm sure Syria realizes that it was annexed, and at the time, I believe Israel should have annexed more of the West Bank, which they did not. It's called Judea and Samaria. They should have annexed
good.
That.
Now, the Palestinians say it's their land, but you guys got the Golan Heights from Syria and the West Bank from Jordan and Gaza from Egypt. There was never a Palestine that you took any land from.
No, first of all, if you want to go back, you can just go back 60 years and...
Go ahead.
And in 1948, there was no Palestine.
All right. Well, Larry Cohen, thank you. We're going to
get
out your website, shalomusaradio.com. I look forward to getting your response.
Same here, Bob.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you for having me on.
Okay, we have 30 seconds for my next guest.
What really happened at the Branch Davidian compound in Waco? There are still a lot of unanswered questions, but we do know there was enough evidence brought to light to cause the Justice Department to reverse its long-held position on Waco. Gun Owners of America is making a video available called A New Revelation. That raises very many new questions. Questions like, does the trail of the Waco evidence lead right to the White House? And why was critical evidence missing from the evidence locker nearly 6 years after the event? The price of this startling video is only $29.95, and you can order your copy today by calling Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, too, that GOA is in Washington every day fighting for your right to keep and bear arms, as spelled out in the Bill of Rights. Call and order your video today and find out how you can join Gun Owners of America. 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
Hey, don't you just hate doing things you're not good at? Just imagine how your children feel if they're not good readers. Maybe if reading were easier for them, the homework would be simpler. Don't fight the homework wars. Don't let the homework slide. Your children will fall behind. Give them the help they need. It's reading instruction cleverly disguised as a game. The phonics game is fun to play, so the learning is easy. And because luck is part of the game, the best reader doesn't always win, so everyone can feel good about the phonics game. Give your children the help they need. End the homework wars. Call now, 1-800-200-READ. Again, that's 1-800-200-READ.
But talking in line, not losing place in line.
Yeah.
Now we're looking at things such as gang warfare, rape and abortion and suicide and
right. Drugs,
and it's a very different society.
Our dear friend Brian Rohrbaugh, his son Danny was killed at Columbine. He's been on the show a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
And he points out that every school shooter, except for one, and there's been dozens of them now, have been on either Ritalin or other behavioral drugs.
Sure.
And we've got over 11 million kids in America on Ritalin.
Yeah. When we tell them just say no to drugs, and then they wait in line at the principal's office to get their Ritalin, it sends a mixed message, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Larry, a very good point. Yeah, and if you don't, there's a jihad in America against spanking.
Mm-hmm.
It's politically incorrect to spank your kids, and it seems like if you don't mess with the kid's bottom, you're going to have to mess with his top, his brain, and,
sure.
and put him on drugs to control these kids. We're ruining kids.
We are. And again, when you follow the word of God, you mm-hmm. reap life and you reap the consequences. When you don't, we have a society that looks more like today than it did, with the gum-chewing problems we faced in the 30s,
you know,
30 years ago.
How we've had hundreds of hospitals and universities founded by Christians with the purpose of spreading the gospel. And over a few generations, those institutions typically go liberal, then they go pagan, and then they support evolution and abortion, homosexuality. And I don't think any Christian university like Harvard, Princeton, or Yale, I don't think any of them have ever come back.
Well,
once they're gone, it seems like they're gone.
You know, it's interesting. If you go to those universities, you can still see why
yeah.
it is they were founded.
Right.
They're still carved in stone. They're
yeah.
still hanging
to
in
promote
brass.
The gospel of Jesus Christ
right.
at
the
Harvard.
Right, the same way as if you go to a nation's capital. You see Bible verses in the Washington
yeah.
Monument. You see the Ten Commandments that
the
are
US
carved
Supreme
in the
Court.
United States Supreme Court. But
right.
yet we can't hang them in front of our schools because kids might actually follow them according to the Supreme
yeah,
Court. We
right,
can't
right.
have that.
Right.
Think about the hypocrisy of a Supreme Court that has the Ten Commandments carved above it in the chambers that won't allow
right.
children to see them.
I think when Jesus said you can't put new wine into old wineskins, I think one of the things we can draw from that, not the main interpretation, but that when an institution becomes godless, like a university or a hospital, we could work awfully hard on trying to bring Harvard University back to the Lord, but I don't think it's going to happen. It's never happened in history as far as I know. You can't put new wine into old wineskins. It seems like if we think about that strategically with our public school system, we could realize that you could get Christians at every board meeting from now until the Lord returns, and they're not going to begin to preach the gospel, condemn evolution. That's not going
to
happen.
Well, I do think that for the safety of your children, you need to pull them out and homeschool.
Amen.
Get them in Christian schools.
Praise the Lord.
But let me say this. I do think that we need to be involved in every one of those institutions. Christians running for the school board office.
The main thing we should do is, sure, we could be there and minister there, but to warn parents, get your kids out. That's number one. Number two is the kids who are unfortunate enough to be trapped in a godless education system, to try to minister to them however we can, protect them however we can.
And frankly, to get on the school boards to help redirecting the policies of where they're going. We don't need to have a GLSEN program, the Gay Straight Education Network, that's telling kids they ought to try this dangerous lifestyle worse than smoking ever was.
Right, absolutely.
We need to be involved in helping to steer the direction of our country. And I got to tell you, I'm really getting tired. I think we need to stop bashing our culture and start leading it.
Start leading the culture.
That's where I think working together is going to help us to drive towards solutions.
Well, let me ask you this. It's strategic thinking. Do you think we Christians, if we work together, do you think we could redeem the public school system and it would become a godly public school system?
I don't think we're to the place where we can read from the Word of God like we once did and start the day with prayer. I mean, I want to tell you, it all comes back to the central focus, the theme right now, in my opinion. If you want to pray, I would put on the top of your prayer list right now the United States Supreme Court, because we are overdue for vacancies. We might be looking in a matter of 3 months of two openings.
Do any of the U.S. Supreme Court justices, now I'm setting you up, this is a dangerous question, are any of them pro-life in that, have they written or stated that the unborn baby has a right to life that the government is obligated to protect?
Absolutely. No. Both Rehnquist and Scalia have written on that. Come on,
the answer is absolutely no. This is what they've written. Roe v. Wade should be overturned because if the states want to legalize abortion, the state legislatures need to pass those laws, and then that would, they say, hold constitutional muster.
Well, you know, beyond the state...
That's not pro-life. That's pro-choice state by state. If California and New York want to legalize abortion, justices... Scalia and Thomas have said that is acceptable. That's the way to do it. They have never affirmed that a baby has a right to life that the government is obligated to defend.
Well, I believe that what they've talked about, I think you're right on that. And that's what's amazing.
But that discourages me. Seven of the nine Supreme Court justices were nominated by Republicans, and not one of them believes that the baby has a right to life. Not one of the seven of nine.
There's some disagreement on how that should
be done. What if we get 9 of 9? Well, then will we win? We have 7 of 9 right now. Remember the One Nation Under God pledge that was ruled unconstitutional in San Francisco?
Right.
The judge, we conservative Republicans condemned him, and Clinton judges. He was appointed by a Republican president. And the federal judge in New York who just ruled that the convicted child molester who was giving out balloons to kiddies in the park, that the county government couldn't stop him because he had a right to free speech. He's luring kids with balloons in the park. He's a convicted pedophile.
Well, can I tell
you, Bob, appointed by George Bush Sr.
Let me address first of all on the tactics and the methods of addressing the right to
life. Do that, because I'm discouraged.
I lobbied for 10 years at Ohio Right to Life. We passed introduced and passed the first ban on partial birth abortion in the country. I believe that the people through their elected officials are fully capable of protecting children.
Thank you for doing that, Jim.
Well, it's a unified effort. It's a team effort, and 30 states followed. But the Supreme Court struck down those laws through the Nebraska law.
Wait. Is this the Supreme Court that 7 of the 9 justices were appointed by Republican presidents?
That's
Is that the same
problem.
Supreme Court I'm thinking
you
of?
Yeah, you want to know something?
Oh, okay.
We can never have another David Souter again, or another O'Connor.
Well, we've got him right now. National Right to Life sends out letters urging us to support justices that have been nominated. Not one shred of evidence in their material that these guys are pro-life. That's David Souter all over again.
Well, I'm not aware of those where they've actually asked anybody to support justices for National Right to Life that they don't have a record of.
I could bring you the latest emails I've gotten from National and Colorado Right to Life.
I think the heart of this is that the two of us actually disagree, or two of us actually agree,
yeah.
that what's happening is our guys, once they get in, put the wrong people on the court, all right? Bottom line.
Right, 100%
and,
true.
And that's why we need to make sure that everything we do is going to pray for the president, encourage the president, that I know of some people on the short list for the United States Supreme Court vacancies that are absolutely atrocious.
How about the White House General Counsel,
Alberto Gonzalez, has told a public forum that he believes Roe versus Wade is something that he should be upheld. It is a precedent that should be upheld. That's frightening.
George W. Bush either appointed or helped to get 5 out of Texas 7 Supreme Court justices on the court, and they've led the way in some cases that are strongly anti-Christian, pro-abortion. He's put radical pro-homosexual, pro-abortion, Planned Parenthood advocates in key judicial positions in Texas.
Well, let me tell you.
I'm worried. Manny Alberto Gonzalez as chief White House counsel.
Who's overseeing the Supreme Court vacancy.
This is devastating. And George W. Bush promised in the presidential debate that he would not try to overturn Roe v. Wade. That was his first presidential promise.
Here's what I think we need to be able to do.
What do we got to do?
Take off the gloves. I'm working with every one of these groups and saying to them what they all know is that the war is won or lost in the United States Supreme Court. We lose the court, we lose the war. Win the court, we win the war. And that goes education, that goes all the way down. You know how the ramifications are going to be. And incidentally, even on abortion, if it returns to the people, we still have the right to pass a human life amendment, which could outlaw, which could protect children again nationwide.
That would be fabulous.
It would be fabulous. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you this. Just like you were talking about the intimidation of the homosexual agenda, what we need to recognize is there are more of us than there are of them. A Worthland poll that Faith to Action conducted, it's a scientific, systematic poll, keep this in mind, showed that we asked the question, are you in favor of judges appointed to the United States Supreme Court who will uphold laws that restore protection to unborn children? 66 said yes. 66% said yes. That's two-thirds of the country that would back pro-life justices on that Supreme Court, justices that would uphold laws that protect kids again.
Even Alan Guttmacher's surveys have shown that women who are pro-choice, who have abortions, believe that it's murder. A significant percentage of women who are pro-choice believe it's murder. So I'm backing up your point.
Sure.
Even the women who are pro-choice know there's something wrong with it, many of them.
And many of those women are joining in what you just mentioned, the Operation Outcry, the readdress of Roe versus Wade from Norma McCorvey, from Santa Cano, and from hundreds of women who've been there.
Unprecedented that someone who wins a landmark U.S. Supreme Court case goes back to overturn it, and this is not one, but both.
And back
women,
to overturn it with hundreds and hundreds of women signing
affidavits.
On as friends of the court.
Over 1,000 affidavits right now.
This is the amazing thing. In fact, that's why we're linking to Operation Outcry.
That is great. Any woman out there who's post-abortion and would like to help out, in fact, they could go to your website and find out about Operation Outcry and perhaps add an affidavit to this case.
They could, and they can join the prayer page. We're going to be focusing on that Supreme Court and the judges that will be appointed maybe by June of this year.
Mm. So tell us how people can get in touch with your ministry.
Sure. The best way is f2a.org.
F2a.org. That stands for Faith to Action.
Sure does.
So f2a.org. Just those three letters?
That's all you need. Faith2Action.org.
You know, that is a fabulous domain name.
You like that? You don't have to punch in. You could punch in Faith to Action if you
but
want.
You don't have to.
You don't have to.
F2A.org. That's very valuable. Getting a three-letter domain name.
And with that, you
That's
plug
impressive.
Into everybody out there who's
All
leading
right.
the charge.
God bless you, Jenna.
Thank you.
Hey, don't you just hate doing things you're not good at? Just imagine how your children feel if they're not good readers. Maybe if reading were easier for them, the homework would be simpler. Don't fight the homework wars. Don't let the homework slide. Your children will fall behind. Give them the help they need. It's reading instruction cleverly disguised as a game. The phonics game is fun to play, so the learning is easy. And because luck is part of the game, the best reader doesn't always win, so everyone can feel good about the phonics game. Give your children the help they need. End the homework wars. Call now, 1-800-200-READ. Again, that's 1-800-200-READ.
Welcome back. Bob and Yurt Live, broadcasting from the Convention Center floor at the Opryland Hotel in Nashville, Tennessee, at the NRB, the National Religious Broadcasters Association. And the favorite verse of America, of Christians. It used to be John 3:16, God so loved the world. But now it's Hillary Clinton's favorite verse, judge not, Matthew 7:1. I have with me Pastor Erwin Lutzer of Moody Church in Chicago. Pastor, you wrote a book. When I saw the title of the book, it said, Who Are You to Judge? I said, uh-oh, what is this pastor? What is he trying to say? What are you trying to say?
Well, you know, I begin the book by saying that the church is to be in the world as the ship is in the ocean. But when the ocean gets into the ship is in trouble. And I suggest that the evangelical ship is taking on water.
Right.
And what it's time to do is to begin to draw a line and to say, you know, there are some things that are wrong.
Mm.
And we don't want to do that today, as you quoted that verse, you know, who are you to judge, which of course is taken out of context and misinterpreted.
Right.
And so we live in a generation where people have been paralyzed, unwilling to say that something is wrong, no matter what it is.
So if somebody's selling drugs to kids in a playground, we Christians, if we go by this number one most popular verse these days, don't judge, we would be silenced. We wouldn't be able to say that's wrong.
Yeah. Now, in most instances like that, Bob, people would, of course, make judgments because you deliberately chose an extreme example
right.
to show where this leads.
Right.
But the simple fact is we have heresy within the church. We have immorality. We've got false teaching that abounds. And we've got entertainment. You know, one of the chapters of my book is Judging Entertainment, and the subtitle is How Much of Hollywood Should You Let Into Your Home?
Oh, my.
So... We,
can I tell you how our family does it? We homeschool.
Please.
Our kids, we have seven boys from age 1 to 21.
Yeah.
The oldest is married. They never turn on the TV without the parents in the room, and we don't watch primetime TV. We
yeah.
watch news, sports, and Christian videos and movies that are safe for families.
Well,
that's it.
You know, Bob, that's absolutely awesome. I wish that there were millions of families like yours, but that's not the way it is.
Not the case.
You know why? We don't do it because, number one, the parents are not modeling this kind of thing.
They don't know. Does Moody Church teach this from the pulpit that we need to protect our kids from Hollywood?
Exactly.
You're the pastor.
I'm the pastor.
I guess so.
Exactly. And the book that I've written, basically, a lot of this, of course, was taught to the congregation. So what we live in, Bob, is an era in which it is difficult to make judgments because everything has become so confused. You know, the title of my book is Who Are You to Judge? But the subtitle is Learning to Distinguish Between Truths, Half-Truths, and Lies.
Right.
Because if everything were wrong, like even in false teaching, it would be easy to identify.
But when there's a half-truth, like most of the cults. Right. Like, don't judge, but they ignore the fact that Jesus said, you hypocrite, in that paragraph.
Well, let's look at that passage. First of all, there's no way that Jesus could have meant we should not make judgments, because in the next verses he says, you know, don't cast your pearls before swine and so forth. How could we fulfill that?
Right.
Later on, same chapter, beware of false prophets. How could we fulfill that unless we are making judgments?
Now,
what Jesus meant was simply this. Don't be a Pharisee. They made two mistakes. They judged the wrong things, petty issues, and secondly, they did it with the wrong attitude. They did it with a sense of self-righteousness and judgmentalism, and we should definitely avoid that.
Pastor, if my chair didn't have arms on it, I would have just fallen out of it onto the floor. I just heard a prominent pastor quote a verse when Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before swine. I didn't think Christians were allowed to quote verses like that any longer, because we're not allowed to judge. I'm thrilled that we find some reinforcement here up in the front lines. This is
actually
great.
I have to tell you this, that if you read Matthew chapter 23, you would be surprised what Jesus said about the Pharisees.
He had tough love.
Names. It was tough love.
Yeah,
you know,
tough love.
Imagine today saying, you know, you're nothing but a whitewashed sepulcher, and, you know, you're a generation of snakes.
Right.
Now,
or a hypocrite, calling someone a hypocrite and a liar and a thief.
All that, you see, we're not allowed to do today. And of course, we as Christians should be kind.
Gracious.
We should be gracious.
Right.
But what we need to do is to draw those lines and to be able to say, you know, this is wrong. There's so many different issues in our culture.
When God made us male and female, men and women are different. Women are softer, more tender. It seems like the church has been feminized and that men have been emasculated and they can no longer be men with tough love and the proper condemnation and rebuke of wickedness.
You know, I make the statement in the book that the reason we cannot judge our culture is because we have not first judged ourselves.
Mm. Jesus said, and Paul says, judgment begins at the house of God.
It begins at the house of God because We have not disciplined people. We have not taught people the right path. Consequently, allowing everything. If I could put it this way, Bob, when you do not judge, it's something like spiritual AIDS. When a person has AIDS, his body has no resistance to any disease.
Right, right.
Everything
is about it. Oh, my, what a brilliant analogy.
And what we have today is people who have spiritual AIDS, so to speak, because everything is allowed to come in as long as it has a verse of Scripture connected with it. And that's why I spend time in my book pointing out how Scripture is misused. Let me give you one example, okay? Someone once quoted me in quotation marks. He wrote me a letter and said, I can't believe that you believe this. And
yeah.
He quoted me. I knew I had not said it. I checked the message. Indeed, I had not.
Okay.
Misinterpreted.
Right.
Okay. Now, Bob, if I, as a fallible human being, do not like it when people
misquote you
and put words in my mouth.
Right.
Think of how much more serious it is to put words into the mouth of Almighty God. Yet what do you hear on television? You know, I was talking to the Lord the other day.
Oh.
And you know what the Lord told me? He told me this. And then they quote him directly, word for word, unfiltered. Now what you find is this. Either they're saying, sometimes they say something good, sometimes they say something that is contrary to the Bible, and sometimes just plain silly.
Erwin Luther, when are you going to be in Denver next? We need you in our pulpit. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church,
right.
And this is so wonderful and refreshing to hear. When Jesus, in John 7:24, Jesus said to judge with righteous judgment.
Right.
And when your book title says, Who Are You to Judge? We're children of God, and if you have the mind of Christ, He who spiritually judges all things. If we can't tell the world what's right from wrong, who's going to?
And, you know, let me add one other word to this about the misuse of Scripture. People think that as long as the verse is used, you know, this is
Yeah, then anything's okay.
Can't you imagine the devil being interviewed in the first century? And he says this to Jesus. Jesus, guess what? I just had a revelation from the Lord. You know what the Lord just showed me? Based on Psalm 91, you could jump from the pinnacle of the temple.
Oh.
And Jesus would come and pay for you. Hallelujah.
Right.
See,
the misuse of Scripture.
Verse of Scripture, but taken out of context, ignoring the total teaching of Scripture.
Right.
And that's what you find time after time after time. And Christians watch this thinking it must be Scripture, it must be of God, because verses of Scripture are being quoted. And they totally ignore all of these other things. You know,
let me tell you, the Edwin Bible, I had a jail ministry for a few years on and off, and an inmate in jail wanted my Bible. It was nicer than the jail issue. And I said I'd give it to him, but we were talking about judging, and he said we're not allowed to judge. And I showed him all these verses where God commands us to judge, and he refused. And I said, well, how about the book of Judges? There's a whole book of Judges in there. Were they all evil? And so now you might get mad at me at this, but I finally said, I'll give you my Bible, but you don't believe this book, and I ripped the book of Judges out.
Wow.
And then,
boy, that really made me.
And then John 7:24, that page went, and 1 Corinthians chapter 2 went. I said, now you could have this be the Erwin Bible. And this is the Bible that you agree with.
Yes, right. And you know what? If he's going to use that criteria, there are a lot more pages that will
that are going to have to go.
That are going to have to
go. Yeah, we're to be salt and light, and
right.
If we're not judging, what a tragedy. Now, doesn't the Bible say that we saints will judge the world, that we will judge the angels?
And you know that in context, you're quoting 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In context, this is what Paul says. Why are you as Christians going before worldly judges to resolve their disputes? And we're having it every single day as Christians continue to
right.
sue other Christians and take them to court.
Right.
Paul says, are there not righteous men among you who can judge, such matters?
Yes, and he said, I'm ashamed of you that you're not judging the least
right.
things. And we're going to judge the angels in the world. Jesus Christ is the judge, but just like Supreme Court judges who remand cases to a lower court, the Revelation says he commits judgment to the hands of his saints.
And you know what's happened, Bob? We've always in church history had this tension between love and unity and truth. Let me put it this way, truth and unity.
Mm.
And what's happened in the past is sometimes the arguments among Christians have been petty.
Right.
They have been drawn on the wrong line.
Absolutely.
You know, they're dividing right. over issues that should never divide us, you know, regarding whether it's prophecy or whether it's this or that. There are a lot of issues.
Right, doctrinal issues that even you and I as pastors hesitate to bring up because somewhere along the line our churches are probably divided
yeah,
over.
Right. And, you know, we can all have our own convictions and
yeah.
we have to cut a lot of slack.
Right.
But here's the point. We see people without a proper understanding of the gospel, and that's the issue.
Right. Thank Pastor, could you join us for one minute after this break so that we could tell people how to get your book?
Right.
And does your church have a website?
We do.
Okay. All right. Thank you. We'll be right back.
Or sweater you'd give to a persecuted Christian? You have an incredible opportunity to share the love of Christ. Right now, gifts like blankets, sweaters, hats, and mittens are priceless to Christian families in Pakistan and Afghanistan. Because of their faith in Jesus, many have lost everything. They've been driven from their homes, and with winter coming, it will be brutal, especially for the children. But now, through a nationwide program released by the Voice of the Martyrs, you can spread the warmth of Christian love. This program is called Action Packs. 50 specially designed packs your family can directly support a persecuted family with good used items you probably have around your home. For a complete information kit, simply call the Voice of the Martyrs now at 888-843-1056. It's toll-free, 888-843-1056. Please join us today in helping Pakistani and Afghani Christian families. Call now, 888-843-1056. 888-843-1056. If you're self-employed or run a small business, you have no choice but to move as fast as you can. Sometimes you move so fast you don't take a close look and nice and clear. When was the last time you looked at your health insurance? If you don't have health insurance, or if you have the wrong coverage, serious medical bills could mount up. That's where the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company comes in. We provide affordable health insurance for the self-employed and small business owners. Call us 24 hours a day at 1-888-839-4651. That's 1-888-839-4651. If you don't have health insurance, call us. If you have coverage, call anyway to see if we can give you better coverage and a better price. Stay on track for affordable health insurance designed specifically for the self-employed and small business owners. Call Mega 24 hours a day at 1-888-839-4651. 1-888-839-4651. Coverage not available in all states. It's easy to get it over your head. Life's living necessity isn't really it. Or maybe you can stick or went through a divorce. And once you're in debt, it may seem impossible to get out. Now, there's a non-profit organization that helps consumers finally get out of debt. It's called Debtscape. Call them 1-800-762-5400. Debtscape negotiates with your creditors to reduce monthly payments by as much as 50%. They can reduce or even eliminate your interest rate and arrange a plan to consolidate. Debtscape can help. If you're more than $2,000 in debt, call Debtscape now for a free debt consultation. 1-800-762-5400. It's completely confidential and there's no obligation. It's easy to get in over your head, but Debtscape helps you get out. Call now, 1-800-762-5400.
And this is, it's an honor to be here with so many ministries that have been around a long, long time. Bob and Light has been on the air for 12 years. Denver Bible Church, that I have the honor of pastoring, has been on the air, the church has been on the air. It's been in operation for 3 years. We were appointed 3 years ago. So being here at the NRB with people who've dedicated, you know, been in ministry for many years, it's just a thrill. Now, there is something going on. It's not a church. It's not a hospital. It's a lawsuit. And I've got a guest here who I'd like to hear more from Mike Seals about a lawsuit that's been filed by Hollywood against Christians.
Yes.
What's happening?
Yes, Bob, that's correct. There is a lawsuit that's going on right now. The Motion Picture Association, made up of the studios and the Directors Guild out in Hollywood, has filed a suit against a number of companies that are in the business of providing cleaner entertainment to families across our country.
And how is it, my family, we just got some movies that were put out by a business. We got it over the web. You know the name of the company. Our friends got them for us.
CleanFlix.com.
And they took some popular movies like Braveheart, and they took out the nude scenes, I guess, that were in them, because our family would not purchase such movies. We wouldn't have them in our home. We wouldn't allow them on our TV. Some families simply just fast forward through those scenes. We don't trust ourselves that much. And we don't want our kids to be up in the middle of the night watching things they shouldn't watch. So when we found out about CleanFlix, we were thrilled. They take those nude scenes out and either edit your VHS tape or somehow with different technologies to edit those scenes out of DVDs. That's what Hollywood doesn't like?
That's correct. CleanFlix is one of the companies that's named in the suit, and you're exactly right. They do go in and edit out objectionable scenes from videotapes and distribute those tapes through their stores and through their websites. There's another company.
And they're not violating copyright law because you purchased the DVD or the VHS, so you own it. And if you bought a magazine or a book and you didn't like the chapter, you could rip the chapter out, and the publisher, the author, they have no right to tell you you can't rip that chapter out.
Right. Within the privacy of your own home, if you have bought the original or rented the original, and what you do in terms of editing that within the privacy of your own home is your own business.
Right.
There is another company also that's included in the suit by the name of ClearPlay.
I've heard of them.
Yeah, and what ClearPlay does is they create an editing filter for every new Hollywood release. And that filter works on DVD movies, and it in essence does the same thing. It instructs the DVD, the original one that you would purchase or rent, instructs the DVD
to skip certain frames.
And
legally, that's even more secure than what CleanFlix is doing.
Yeah, it's really like
CleanFlix is making a backup for you, so you have the original and the backup, and I can see that Hollywood might have more of a case there. But with this filter, there's no way Hollywood, under existing law, should prevail.
No, absolutely not. It's like a CleanFlix. It's like an automated fast forward button.
Right. And they don't even like that.
No, they don't.
I have a hatred for Hollywood. I just despise Hollywood because they want the filth to get to our children. That's what they want.
Right. When the whole DVD industry was originally going to come out, one of the designs of DVD movies was to be able to have the original version of the movie as it was released at the box office and a TV or more family-friendly version on the same disc.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the hope of all families. Hollywood didn't do that, even though by doing that, they would have increased their sales and revenues of the movies.
Such a great point. G movies, family movies, year after year, if you look at the top 10 grossers, they're disproportionately represented these G family movies.
Right. Do you know that in the top 20 box office hits of all time, there's not one R-rated movie?
Oh, really?
That tells you what families are looking for. But do you know that two-thirds of the movies that are released today are rated R.
Right, right.
Now, from a business perspective,
I think there's a couple of reasons for that. I think one is Hollywood, they really hate God and love the perversion, and that's a big reason. But two, it's harder to make a good G-rated movie, because an R-rated movie, all you have to do is be filthy, take clothes off of a couple of women, and you got a movie. You don't have to be talented. And so the lack of talent in Hollywood and the desire to promote their morality. You know, Christians, we're against sex and nudity in movies especially. Violence is a different thing. If you read the Bible, there's a lot of violence in the Bible. And warfare, you could make a movie and show a crime drama, and the violence is symbolic. It's not real. You don't really kill people on screen. If there's a naked woman on screen, it's real. It's real, and it's not simulated. But even if it was, of course, it would still be destructive. But violence, God, God is a God of war, and it is proper to use force in self-defense for righteousness. You can't use sexual immorality for righteousness.
Right, and you can't use God's name in vain, which happens so often.
For righteousness.
For righteousness.
No, righteousness.
Our company manufactures the product,
TV Guardian.
The foul language filter. And of course, we work on television broadcast and video movies.
You base it off the closed caption?
That's correct. We look for offensive language by reading the closed captioning text before the audio hits.
Right.
We compare it against the dictionary of offensive words and phrases and then trigger a mute in the audio when there's a match.
That's so great. That's just a brilliant idea.
Yeah, I wish I thought of it.
Mike Fields, you're with the company. What do you do?
I'm the president of the company.
All right. Seems like you did think of it.
Well, I didn't think of it. I wasn't the inventor, but I was close behind.
Okay.
And we're in the business of finding innovative products and technologies for families to help them manage entertainment in the home.
Well, before I heard about CleanFlix, I contacted a dear friend of mine, an engineer in Boulder, Colorado, who he has a software company, and they write drivers for CDs and hard drives, and probably your computers at home have his drivers on them, probably. He's extremely successful around the world. His clients are the big computer companies. And I asked him, I said, could you write a driver for DVD players that allow you to download over the internet an edit list, so you could buy your movie and get this edit list, and you could choose what you want out. If the nudity and sex is all out automatically, and you could choose if you want the violence or not, and to what degree the language, and sort of a menu. And he said, yeah, that would be doable.
You know, the sad thing about this lawsuit is that if the lawsuit wasn't in place, the ClearPlay technology would be available in stores today.
In DVDs at Walmart?
In DVD players in Walmart stores.
Because the manufacturer is willing to put this technology in the DVD.
That's correct.
So right now, are people buying it? Is there a market for this right
it's
now?
It's available right now over the internet and to be played on a laptop or a home computer, but obviously most people don't watch movies on laptop or home computer.
No, right.
So the idea to make it widely available to families is built into the DVD players that sell at retail today.
You know, if the TV and PC industries would merge functionality, that would enable Christians and others to do more of what they want with the programming that's being delivered to us. But I think the industry doesn't want that. And so our TVs and computers are not merging on purpose.
Right. I think you're right.
That would be, boy, would that be powerful.
Yeah, it would be.
We could have internet sites that overwrite the commercials during the Super Bowl.
That would be a good thing.
That would be tremendous. Yeah. That, but if we Christians could pull that off, we'll have our own cool under there. So, okay, how can people find out more about this effort?
Well, they can go to a couple of websites, www.tvguardian.com or www.clearplay.com, and find out more about the technologies, the lawsuit, and how they can help.
So tvguardian.com, tvguardian.com, but you link to ClearPlay and the issues, so our audience could get educated at tvguardian.com. This has been Mike Seals with us at the NRB, in Nashville, Tennessee. Mike, thank you so much.
Thank you, Bob.
Really appreciate the update.
Thank you.
All right. So thanks for tuning in. Tomorrow's broadcast will be from the headquarters of Information Radio Network in Memphis, Tennessee. I have never been to the network headquarters. I'm looking forward to that. And then we'll be heading back to Denver, Colorado to continue the shows live on Thursday and Friday.